Uptown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Well, I'm very happy to have won Drive Guys Factor Fantasy, but if I'm being honest with you, not everybody on the YouTube chat is happy that I won. Tall Chinese guy especially.
That's my guy.
He's like, hey, Your Honor, you may have gotten that one wrong. I object. Drapes clearly won that one. People loved your chicken nugget answer. So, you know, there's a theory.
I gave them the points for the chicken nugget.
<I know. laughs> There's a theory, maybe a conspiracy theory, I don't know, that the reason I won is just because the judge wanted to make you mad.
Right, exactly.
You know.
I see how it is, Simone. That's all right.
Yeah.
That's
a mistrial then.
Yeah,
I'll see
exactly.
You guys same time, you know, on Monday.
Might get you disbarred, you know? Like,
maybe it's one of those, you know, it's his first time. He can't win.
Right, he can't win.
I don't know,
man. I'm like a young LeBron or Lou Alcindor. I've come in winning championships, you know? That's how I should be.
So. Not today, though.
Not today.
Didn't work out today. Doesn't look like it's going to work out. Well, I shouldn't say that because I got a man on. It's the ninth inning. The Houston Astros are behind the eight ball. I'll say that. And I mention that because, as Simone mentioned in her update, we had some tempers flaring.
Yeah.
There. Yeah. So as best as we can tell, Dolis Garcia, who had homered, got hit by a pitch, and then it looked like the Astros pitcher got ejected.
Yes.
And then Dusty Baker
Dusty
went
lost
ballistic.
Oh, he was upset.
And then he got ejected, too. And I know your friend Dave Stewart, had some things to say about that.
Our guy, Smoke Dave Stewart, let me pull it up. He said, and I quote, if it's me, that's how he started out. Mm-hmm. So he said, if it's me, and somebody hits a home run and walks halfway up the line, best believe I'm going to smoke his blank.
Uh-huh.
Which means, best believe I'm going to hit him too.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw at him also.
Uh-huh.
So Dave Stewart, he doesn't play that. He
right.
You know, don't be trying to, you know, show off and, you know, make a, you know, no. Run around the bases, get back into the dugout.
But, you know, and I'm with Dave Stewart, and that's the game way the game was played and taught when I was growing up. Dave Stewart, Dusty, they're old school, and the game is changing.
Yes.
And they don't want – they would rather have people showboating, flipping bats,
right,
and strutting down to first base. That's what baseball wants because fans seem to like that.
Yeah, it's entertaining, I guess. You know, it'll get you on SportsCenter or ESPN a little more, but – like you said, Dusty and Dave, they are old school. And especially here it is, game five. So these two teams have been going at it, you know, all series. They start to get on each other's nerves a little bit, seeing the same guys and everything.
And the Astros are starting to get a little anxious.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. The Astros, you know, feeling up against it right now. They're down 4-2, top of the ninth, about to go down 3-2 perhaps in this series. And so they're a wounded animal right now. And so. Yeah, it's exciting, though. I tell you what, you don't see many bench-clearing, like, brawls anymore in baseball, I don't think.
Pitchers used to be able to hit guys whenever they wanted. That was considered, I got to control the inner half of the plate.
And you knew it was coming as a batter, too, right?
Yeah, sometimes you did. Have I ever told you the story about Bob Gibson and Jim Ray Hart?
No.
Real quick. Okay.
Let me hear this.
Jim Ray Hart was a rookie on the Giants, 1960, whatever. Bob Gibson was a notorious, like, you know, if his grandmother was in the box, he would have knocked her down. So Jim Ray Hart hits a home run in his first game. Second game, he's going to play against Bob Gibson. He's going to face Bob Gibson. Willie Mays, as his teammate, says, look, Rook, there's some things you got to know about facing Gibson. Jim Ray Hart says, he tells a story. He says, you know, I wasn't listening because I know what I'm doing. I don't need to listen.
Altuve just hit a three-run bomb. Let me just say.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt you.
No, Astros
on top,
5-4,
top of the ninth.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, Willie Mays tells Jim Ray Hart, whatever you do, do not dig into the box. Whatever you do, don't dig in. Jim Ray Hart says, I wasn't really listening. So he says he gets in there. Now batting, Jim Ray Hart. And he gets in there and he says he puts his
digs in a little.
And he hears in the dugout, he hears Willie Mays say, No! Bob Gibson broke his shoulder blade. Hit him in the back and broke
hit him.
His shoulder. Yeah, that's the way it used to be.
And that's how you knew it was coming. Like,
really,
he warned you.
Yeah.
He warned you. Wow.
So it's different now. But how about that? So we got a game now. 5-4 Astros.
Man. I want the Rangers to win so bad.
Do you?
Yeah. I think my Phillies would have an easier time against the Rangers than the Astros. We saw that with the Astros last year. Like, they're a tough out, man.
Yeah. I go back and forth pulling for Dusty and then pulling for Boats.
Yeah, so, that's true. Yep.
Yeah. Looks like we may have quite a series after all. We'll see. Long ways to go. There's a drive. That's going to be caught. Okay. Christian McCaffrey a year ago, this date, was traded to the 49ers. So Kyle Shanahan was asked about that. He was also asked yesterday about Christian McCaffrey's workload. Mm. Is it sustainable? Do you think that's a legitimate question to ask him right now?
I think so. I do think it's a good question. It's something we've all been thinking and wondering and talking about all season long. You know, is CMC being overworked? So, yeah, I think it's a legitimate question.
The answer, I mean, we treat him as our starting running back. So I don't really think of how many touches we want to get somebody in a year. That's week to week and how the game goes. But he gets a lot more extra because he gets thrown to so much in the passing game. I'm happy with how he's being used. I'm happy with how he's been playing. We'll see how the rest of the year goes. So I understand. It seems to me from Shanahan's standpoint, he's saying, he's our running back. So we're going to use him a lot because he's our best player. So, we don't have like a pitch count for
him.
Right,
right. But I will say, and I'm looking at the numbers this season, CMC second in the NFL to Travis Etienne, who's played one more game. And don't forget, CMC was hurt last week.
Second in carries?
Second in carries. Yeah, second in carries. And CMC was hurt. So CMC has rushed the ball 110 times this season. I think it was an issue earlier in the season. I feel like Shanahan has sort of scaled back a little bit. But the thing is, this is 2023. The bell cow running back, that's of yesteryear, you know? Now it's you're not handing it to a guy
like
20 to 25.
Inside,
right, yeah. Right. It's different now. And it's even like, continue the baseball conversation, starting pitchers. They don't go 7-8 innings anymore. They go 5-6. If you get 5 good innings out of them, that's all you need. And so to an extent, CMC is a throwback running back who's averaging, close to 20 carries per game. And the thing about him, he's had injury history too, Whitey. Now, if this was a young guy fresh out of college, something like that, but he's getting up there in age. He's had some injury history in the past, obviously. And so I think it is a fair question to question Kyle and the workload for CMC.
Christian McCaffrey has never had 300 carries in a season for his career. In 2019, he had 287. He has now played, when the 49ers traded for him a year ago, some people said, he's got an injury history, which he did. He's now played in 23 straight regular season games.
Wow.
Since the start of the 2022 season. But we don't know whether he's going to play this Monday night or not.
Yeah, and you say he hasn't had 300 carries. He did have 287 in his third season. And then after that, in 2020, he only played in 3 games. In 2021, he played in 7 games. In 2022, he played in 6 games. So I talk about the injury history. 2022, also Carolina and San Francisco split. 6 with Carolina, 11 with San Francisco. And you talk about the injury history, it's there for this guy. Mm-hmm. And so to me, as a Niners fan, that's what I would be concerned about. He looks great right now. He looks strong right now. But you got to make sure you get this guy to the finish line when it matters the most. And that's the NFC Championship game and hopefully Super Bowl if you're a Niners fan.
Yeah, and as we said, he's never had 300 carries, but that is a little deceiving because in 2019, if you consider how many times they threw him the ball.
Yeah, that's true.
He actually touched the ball.
Wow.
403.
Yeah. 116 receptions in 2019. Wow, that's a lot. No, you're right about that. And you could throw in his receptions this year. I mentioned 110 carries, but also 23 receptions as well. So he's at, 133 touches through 6 games so far.
And it's especially delicate now because, it does look like teams are, well, if they're not targeting him, they know he's difficult to bring down. Mm-hmm. So they're bringing him down by any means necessary. So it's going to be interesting to see if he holds up here. If I'm the 49ers, that's why I think I would keep him out this week. And if they win, I might keep him out the next week too, because then you got to buy. But
yeah. What do you think, though, when you look at what Shanahan's doing with CMC, I know he's their best running back. But do you think Kyle has faith in the backups, in Elijah,
Not unless he has to. You know, you can see that with him.
Yeah.
Certain receivers with his quarterbacks, when he believes in a guy, he's like,
he's going to ride him. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's what's happening. And I mentioned it, you know, maybe you go out there and take a look at another running back if Kyle's not, or another receiver or something. You know, add some to the depth because, you know, you want to get these guys healthy come January and February.
Well, speaking of that, and I know you've been saying for a while, hey, they could use another receiver. Tell you how the 49ers, according to one member of the media, could pull off the football equivalent of KD to the Warriors.
Ooh.
We're right back with that here. It's a drive.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Davion at the right elbow. Kicks it out to Kessler. Edwards steps into a three. He's got that three-pointer, and Sacramento leads it. 14 points for Kessler Edwards. It's 106-104.
You got to tell me, what's the deal with Kessler Edwards? Is he a good player? Can he play on this team?
It's all about his shot. It's really, if his shot falls, he can be a rotation guy. If he can't shoot it, it's going to be hard to put him on the floor because he's great defensively. Mm-hmm. Like, Mike Brown wants to give this guy some minutes, but his shot has to fall, and it was great to see last night it did fall.
So do you think it's fair to say the Kings have more depth? Before the season started, or the preseason started, I thought, wow, they got great depth. And then you see you got, you know, some of these guys have their strengths, they have their weaknesses. How many of these guys can be relied on that are coming off the bench? I don't know. Bench played great last night. Do you think depth is, if not a strength, it's certainly improved, isn't it, over the last year?
Yeah, 100% improved because I don't remember or recall a time last year where we said, man, we got to find minutes for this guy. Like, this guy needs to be on the court. How's he going to play? You know, Mike Brown, his job is difficult. And so I thought the Kings, you know, had a good roster last year. And I think what Monty McNair did this year was just improve the depth. Instead of, you know, going 10, now you got 12 guys you can go to. And so it's definitely an improved roster, no doubt.
The advantage for Mike Brown is that last year there were some guys that he wasn't sure how they were going to fit into the system. Right?
Right.
Like, Rashawn Holmes, a good example.
Yeah.
He'd been a really good player, but he was not a fit. And we talked a couple days ago about KZ Okpala. You bring him in, we need defense. Is he going to fit? And this year, at least, obviously, you still have to try players out and you got new players. But there's he's not flying blind. Mike Brown's not flying blind to the extent that he was last year.
No, exactly. And I feel like what you've seen, to your point, is you brought guys in that'll fit Mike Brown's system. I'm looking specifically at a JaVale McGee, you know?
Yeah.
You know, last year we had, I'm drawing a blank right now. 6'8 guy played at USC.
Chimezie?
Chimezie Metu, yeah. You know, no offense to Chimezie, this is an upgrade at that position. Terrence Davis, you know? He had some great games, some great times, but
people
he was too volatile.
People wondering, because I don't think he signed with anybody.
No, I don't think he signed with any. But, you know, he was too streaky. And, you know, you bring in a Chris Duarte who's a little more even-keeled. You know what you're going to get from him night in and night out.
Yeah, and Terrence wasn't – defense wasn't one of his strengths either.
Exactly. He was a insert when needing offense. Outside of that, not that good defensively.
I'm a little surprised that no one's picked him up yet, if that's the case.
Right. He's a shooter. I mean, that Brooklyn game, he went off 32 points, I think it was. And so, no, he's a talented offensive player.
So as we said, a year ago, the 49ers pulled off the trade for Christian McCaffrey. And the trade deadline this year in the NFL is Halloween. It's on Halloween. So a lot of people have been wondering, are they going to look into something? Are they going to make a move? Dan Graziano, he thinks the 49ers may be open to a really big trade. Now, you have been saying for a while, Kyle, that you think they should be looking for help at wide receiver. Right?
Yeah, I thought I had some wide receiver depth You know, you got Ayuk, obviously, especially with Debo's injury as well. I think if he misses any kind of time, that impacts the offense and changes the offense tremendously. So I would like to see some wide receiver depth.
Well, Dan Graziano says 49ers could make a big move for a wide receiver.
Look, I think you saw the Niners make the big move last year for Christian McCaffrey when their run game seemed to be fine. Obviously, he takes it from fine to very good.
Yeah.
I think if there's a move out there that the 49ers believe would win them the Super Bowl, a la Von Miller to the Rams a couple of years ago, right? I think they would consider it. They do have some cap space this year. They are going to need that cap space for the, you know, the Brandon Ayuk or whoever else they're going to have to sign in the next. Yeah, the safety. They have a couple contracts coming up. So, but, you know, their window is tight. I think if they felt like it could make a difference, Debo Samuel banged up. Yeah, who knows?
If you put Devontae Adams on the 49ers,
that's cheap.
Might as well just cancel the rest of the season. That would be like KD going to the Warriors, right? It would just basically ruin the season. And it would happen in the same market.
How about that? Devontae Adams to the 49ers. Graziano says, hey, who knows? Mentioned that to Emil before he came on with this. He said, no, that's,
zero,
that's not
I
happening.
I think that's zero chance. You know, I think they obviously have the draft capital to pull something that like that off. But I'm just looking at Devontae's contract situation. You know, next year his cap number is $25 million. And then after that, it's not guaranteed in 2025, but the cap number would go to $44 million. I mean, to give up what we would need to get him for only one, maybe two seasons, it just doesn't make sense. I don't think you need a stud number one receiver. I just think you need some depth at that position.
I think there's two ways to go about trying to win a Super Bowl. They mentioned in that cut from ESPN today the way the Rams were hell-bent on let's get whoever we need to get to win a Super Bowl, right? And they picked up Odell Beckham Jr. Yep. The year they won the Super Bowl, Von Miller. The 49ers, though, they're a little more even-keeled. They want to make sure that they have a shot at winning this year, but they don't want to sacrifice the future to do that.
No, exactly. And you know, I know how badly Niners Nation says this is the year you got to get it done, but I think they're hoping for sustained success.
Yeah.
You know, and especially, you know, Brock Purdy, you know, hasn't even hit his prime yet. Ayuk hasn't hit his prime yet, in my opinion. And so they're not the Florida Marlins of the NFL. You know, it's not go all in and then,
that's
you know,
right,
blow it up or sell off pieces. No, I do wonder, though, they got all that cap space, $40 million or so. What for?
Well,
what you going to do with that?
Maybe for next year.
Next year.
When Ayuk and everyone, maybe. Or maybe it's both. Like, if we still have it next year, we'll use it. But in the meantime, at the deadline, if somebody comes available, and or if we have more injuries, then
but
we
maybe
have
not
that
the level of Devontae. Maybe like you know some more middle level wide receiver.
Yeah. Matt Barrows in The Athletic did a good job of breaking down some really unrealistic trade targets for them, and then some more realistic ones. By the way, it looks like the Astros have prevailed.
Oh my God!
Houston
this
wins it 5-4.
This is awful. That look at the dejection being seen on the Rangers' face, like
you have
that
the other
hurts.
Team beaten, and then you give him
right,
yeah,
and then Altuve look at him talking some trash, feeling good. Look at him.
You know what Altuve's all-time favorite HBO show is?
What?
The Wire.
I loved it.
Nice. Of course you loved it, Simone. Of course you did. I'm just saying. Of course.
Jess on the chat says cheaters gonna cheat.
Yeah,
they will never live that down.
But we're happy for our guy Dusty, though, right? Like,
Dusty wasn't there during all that.
And that's the thing about the Astros. You want to see Dusty do well, but not that team. Like, the Astros are the most, I would imagine, the most hated team in baseball right now.
I think so.
The Dodgers. Everyone still hates the Dodgers.
But I think nationwide, like,
we hate cheaters, sure.
Yeah, I think you go to Boston, New York, like, I'm talking American League City, like Astros. They hate him.
So did Dusty getting thrown out win the
game for
him?
He lit a fire under his guys.
That's what people are going to
say. A brilliant move, Dusty. Take one for the team, and they respond. That's why he is who he is. Nice work, Dusty.
Yeah. You're worried about the Astros, huh?
I am. They're good, man. Look, they just won top of the ninth. You know, they have studs. They have guys who aren't, you know, afraid in the biggest of moments. Like, that is a good team, man.
The impressive thing to me about the Astros is that now there's so many rounds of playoffs that it's kind of a crapshoot.
Yeah.
But the Astros have been to the ALCS
seven straight times. That is unheard of. Look at this. And Altuve, three go-ahead home runs, I think, in the ninth or later, I think it said, in his playoff history. I mean, that dude is clutch. And so, no, they do scare me. You know, if I'm the Phillies, you know, I would rather face the Rangers than the Astros.
Wow. I didn't know they scared you that much. I might have to start rooting for the Astros.
No, you would never do that, right? Like, that would be, you know, just, I know. I'd be rooting for the Warriors or Lakers right now or something. You wouldn't do that. Come on.
All right. We'll get back to basketball. I'll take a quick break here and back to the Kings. By the way, where are you now on Colby Jones? Because earlier in the show...
No, that's my guy. What are you talking
about? Okay. Well, I don't know. You kind of played both ends of that court today, and that's fine. I just want to know where you are, really. We'll find out. Also, once again, revisit what an anonymous NBA scout had to say about the Kings and the Sacramento King, whose play last year left this scout stunned. It's coming up here with the Drive Guys on Sactown Sports.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Your new home for 49ers football in the 916, Sactown Sports.
A lot of chat here on the YouTube chat about the Astros and cheaters gonna cheat. Your boy Compio points out that all teams cheat more now than ever. There are so many electrical devices now used by teams. That's why they have PitchCom now in baseball, because they finally figured everyone's stealing signs. We'll just try to make it so that they can't.
Yeah, did you hear about Michigan football also and that cheating scandal? And, you know, somebody said, so the story is Michigan were stealing signs, sending someone to, you know, the games beforehand against an opponent, and they were writing down, you know, their play calls and everything. And then somebody said, well, that's just called scouting, really, you know? And so, no, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, right? Is that what they used to say?
Yes.
And the Astros got caught, but there's a lot of people that will tell you they were not the only team doing that.
Right. Red Sox got caught, too, a few years ago. And so
but they kind of looked the other way.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Astros were made the poster child for it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they take, a 3-2 lead in that series now?
Yeah,
With that win?
I tell you, watching this
coverage. Let's go, Astros!
I'm watching. I never thought I'd see David Ortiz, Alex Rodriguez, and Derek Jeter, all chummy, sitting together, joking, having fun. I mean, these dudes used to hate each other, you know? They were, bitter rivalries. Now they're all chummy and dapping each other. And hot. It's crazy to see, man.
I have a hard time believing that A-Rod's that popular with them. I don't care. I don't wish.
No matter what, he still doesn't fit in your eyes. Yeah. He's not the in crowd.
That's why your son likes Anthony Edwards, right?
Yes.
That's one of the reasons Anthony Edwards is one of my favorite players, because when A-Rod bought the Timberwolves, and then they asked Anthony Edwards about A-Rod. Yeah. He said, I don't know who that is.
Who is that? Ouch.
We've got the NFL resuming this weekend. Of course, they had a game last night. Quite a good game, really, actually. Mm-hmm. The Jags knocking down the Saints. This is interesting, what's going on here with Jamal Adams of the Seahawks in regards to concussion protocol. Now, Jamal Adams had a run-in with a doctor on Sunday, and the NFL fined him. So what the run-in involves, it's not clear here. Adams, verbal comments to the doctor, inappropriate physical conduct, physical contact.
That's physical contact.
Adams has been fined $50,000 for his actions towards the doctor in Sunday's game against the Bengals. So, verbal comments to the doctor, inappropriate physical contact. So I would assume that the doctor came in and had said, you know, you have a concussion, you can't go back in the game. And Jamal Adams was like, yes, I am.
Right.
I'm playing.
Right.
Well, 2 weeks ago, Jamal Adams had an incident with an independent doctor who examined him for a concussion, and they let him off the hook. They didn't fine him, apparently, because they said, look, he was inappropriate in his behavior towards the doctor, but he had a concussion. So there was nothing he could do. We don't hold him responsible. But in this case, Adams actually was going after the doctor because of the doctor's diagnosis of one of Adams' teammates. So they said, okay, well, there's no excuse then. So it just speaks to me of how the league wants everyone to think the game is safe. And the league is, hey, if you have a concussion, you can't play. And most of these players still want to play.
Oh, yeah, they still want to get out there. They still want to play. They still want to be there for their teammates. They still want to compete. And what Jamal Adams did, I mean, you just can't do that, right? Like, the doctors are there to protect you.
Right.
To protect the player. And then what winds up happening, say the doctors say, oh, go ahead, you know, 15 years down the line, CTE, I want to, you know,
right,
and
right.
So the players can't have it both ways.
Yeah, we did an interview years ago with Bill Romanowski about the time. It was after Bountygate, and the league was really trying to be forward-thinking, and they were trying to get out from under the concussion lawsuits and everything, you know, so they were trying to they established some of these concussion protocols, and Bill Romanowski told us on the radio, he said, if I were undergoing one of these tests now, he said, I would sabotage it. So that in a game, my baseline, I would make it so low so that they can't tell I have a
It'll
concussion.
Never, yeah.
Yeah, because he said, I would do that. Yeah.
That's interesting, you know, and I would imagine he's not the only one. And that's what you hear from football players. They love the game. They love competing. They know the inherent risk, but yet they still put their body and lives on the line each and every week.
So, yeah, Jamal Adams, a couple weeks ago when this happened, he apologized and then said, I wasn't myself. I had a concussion. And they said, okay.
All right. Yeah. He wasn't in his right mind. You know?
Right. Like, seriously. Right. Yeah. So that's kind of scary, but that's the football mentality.
Yes. Yes.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. TC joins us, Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. What's up, TC?
What's going on, man? It's your boy, man. Yeah. Drapes, Whitey, what's going on?
What's up, TC?
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Hey, just tapping in with my voice. Well, check it out. I got two things. First and foremost, on the Niners, we'll see how this pan out, bro. Like, we'll see. I think Brock is coming back down to earth, and they're going to be in a world of trouble, bro. I'm a diehard, but they're going to be in a world of trouble if Kirk Cousins dice that defense up. Yeah, the noise is coming back around about Kirk Cousins and Kyle. I'm telling you, if Brock have another bad game, it's going to be all bad. Yeah.
Well, why are you laughing, Whitey? What's
because
so funny?
Because I said that 2 weeks ago and earlier this week.
Oh, did I say?
And you
say
laughed at me. You said, come on.
No, because
on,
Kyle
Whitey.
Said that's the guy. He's the real deal. But if he keeps playing, if he struggles.
I'm with TC.
I don't know if Kirk Cousins is the answer, though. I don't know if they'd actually.
Got all that cap space.
But when you got Sam Darnold right there, why are you bringing in Sam Darnold then, right?
Yeah.
Right. Now, Sam would come in. That'd be a reason for Sam to come in. Like, if he have another game, then it's going to be Sam. And then it's just going to be like, hey, Kyle, this dude really doesn't know what he's doing with quarterback. He's bouncing around. He got rid of Trey prematurely. Like, hey, it's going to be a lot with that situation. I'm telling you, bro, Niner fans better get ready. And as far as the Kings and Kevin Herter, I like what Mike is doing, bro. You got to earn your spot. If you ain't Domas or Fox, bro, you got to prove it, dog. And, I mean, Kevin just got to get out of his head. But that lets you know that we deep. We can go to Dorte, Kobe Jones. Let's talk about Monty McNair, how he's undefeated, bro, in these drafts. He's drafting all these studs. He's a monster. We need to give that dude, like, a lifetime contract.
Ooh.
Don't let Monty get out the building. Him and Mike, I like both of them, bro. They like that's a tandem. I know we got coaching and Luke Laux, Doug Christie, everybody on the bench. But as far as Mike and Monty, bro.
Don't let him get away. Don't let him get away. You're right.
I'm with you, TC.
Period.
Appreciate that,
thanks,
man.
TC.
Totally with you.
I love TC. Is he really a diehard 49er fan?
No, he's a realist. He's objective too, though. Like,
I know, but he also said Niner fans better get ready for whatever. And he didn't say we.
We.
You know?
That
was kind of a touch. Ouch. You catching
that. That's a TC.
You catching that, huh?
Yeah. I mean, a diehard right now is
we'll
going,
say we.
Whoa,
right.
Watch out.
I get it. Watch out for Kirk Cousins.
He's just a little hurt. He's just a little hurt.
He's going to dice us up this weekend. He's going to dice the Niners up.
Hurt people, and he's putting a little distance between it.
Maybe so. Tin joins us now. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Hello, Tin. How are you?
Hello, Whitey.
Hello.
Hello.
What's up?
Yeah, what's up? Which game are you guys looking forward to the most this Sunday besides the Niners and Eagles?
Thank you, Tin. Well, let's see. Did he say besides the Niners and the Eagles?
Right, I think he said the Niners and obviously, I'm looking forward to that Eagles-Dolphins game. That's the game of the week, the heavyweight matchup. What other game that – I think the Ravens-Lions could be a good one. You know, it's in Baltimore. Lions, obviously, 5-1, undefeated on the road. And I think the Ravens desperately need a win. Lamar Jackson got to play better than receivers, got to catch the ball. And so I'm looking at that Lions-Ravens matchup, an early one out here, 10 a.m. on Fox.
Because everyone assumes that on a short week, the Chargers, who just lost a brutal game, will have no chance against the Chiefs, I wouldn't be surprised if the Chargers play a great game against the Chiefs. We'll see. That could be a really entertaining game. They've played some great games against each other recently. And then I'm also really interested in the game that, as you pointed out, the Colts have a great chance to knock off the Browns.
No.
Because the Browns are coming off their Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, exactly. The Browns got up for that game against the Niners. They were talking trash beforehand. They were talking and celebrating afterwards. And the Colts obviously lost their quarterback, no Richardson, the rest of the season. And so this could be a trap game for the Browns. Like they may overlook the Colts, and I think the Colts will be ready.
All right, back to the Kings. As I mentioned, we'll tell you what an anonymous scout had to say about the King that stunned him last year. And what, if anything, that we saw during the Kings preseason, what does that mean? What does anything we saw in the preseason mean for the regular season? That's next year. Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason, Drive Guys on a Friday on Sacktown Sports.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
.116-113 inbounds to Davion. The final seconds tick away. It's over, and Sacramento gets the win. 116-113 is the final score. The Kings victorious for the first time in 5 preseason games.
How about that? Kings got a preseason win. It's Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason, Drive Guys here, wrapping things up, heading for home on a Friday. So does anything we saw during the preseason mean anything for the regular season?
Kyle Draper. Does anything mean anything? No, I don't think so. I guess...
Anything?
I guess one thing that I saw and that I'm going to urge and caution fans with is I think it's going to take some time for this team to really hit its stride. I don't think it's going to be, pick right up where we left off last year because you got some new players. How does Mike Brown with the rotation? Does Kobe get minutes? What about Sasha? Chris Duarte? And so one thing I've seen in the preseason is they haven't looked like a well-oiled machine like they did last year. And so I think it's going to take some time. And so, obviously I want them to get off to a great start, but they got a tough first 3 games. And so if it's 1-2 or something like that, let's not hit the panic button or 1-3 or anything like that. I think, really when we'll see this team take shape is probably – that road trip to Houston. They got 2 games in Houston, maybe even later than that second road trip in mid-November. And so I just think it's going to take some time for these guys to click on all cylinders.
What's going on with the 2-guard spot? I know a lot of people have suggested, I think TC just said, hey, I love it that Mike Brown sending a message. And as I said earlier, I don't know if it's so much he's sending a message as it's just that's the way it's going to be this year. People are going to have to play better defense to stay on the floor. And we've discussed it a lot this week. The Kings now apparently have some decisions that they may have to make at that position that they didn't necessarily expect that they'd be having to make.
Yeah, let me ask you, though. Has Kevin Huerter earned the benefit of the doubt, earned a longer leash, let's say? Like, how many games do we give Kevin Huerter? 10, 15, 20, before we start to see his minutes come down if he doesn't break out of this shooting slump?
I think given that he's proven what he can do, you have to at least start him in the regular season.
Yeah.
You have to, because he's proven he can be a real asset for you. So, yeah, he's struggling right now, but you can't just assume, well, that's it. Let's start the rookie. And, you know, we both love Colby Jones. But I don't know. It's not so much, well, as he earned it. It's just, you know, you're better off. He's such a good player when he's on that the smart thing to do is to give him every chance to find a stroke again.
Exactly. And I think, you know, if I'm Mike Brown, and I've said it before, if you lose Kevin Huerter, if he's not giving you the offense and let's say you move him to the bench or cut his minutes, what is he going to give you then? You know, and that's the thing with Colby, and we saw Chris Duarte as well. You know, if their shot isn't falling, they can still do some other things. And so that's where I think if you're Kevin Huerter, sure, you want your shot to fall, but there's other ways to impact the game as well. Rebounding, defense, playmaking, like we saw from Malik Monk. Those are other things Kevin Huerter can do. And so while you are struggling with the three-point shot, maybe pick it up in other areas of your game.
Isn't it a little concerning, though, that he struggled in the postseason and it just
it looks the same,
better.
Right? It looks like a continuation of the postseason, and that does concern me. And I don't think a guy forgets how to shoot or anything like that, but maybe, you know, it becomes a mental thing. Maybe it's a confidence thing as well. And that's why I've said, you know, I was hoping in one of these preseason games we get to see Kevin Huerter, you know, do a 4 or 5 3-point kind of game, you know, just for his own self-confidence.
That's right. Why he played so much last night, right? They want to give him that chance.
Get him going. Try to get him going. And, you know, it'll be interesting. We saw in that last preseason game, the one before the last, I think the first play right out of the gate, they ran it for Kevin Huerter. So I think they're trying to get him going, and he's going to have to respond during the regular season.
I mentioned this earlier. There was an anonymous scout who told some things to Chris Mannix about all the NBA teams, and SI.com ran with those interesting things this scout has to say about the Kings, including, again, this is a former scout. He says, De'Aaron Fox, will he be able to duplicate what he did last year? Because at the end of games, the dude was bleeping off the charts good. He was lethal, which surprised me a little bit. I like Fox, but I guess I wasn't expecting him to be the best bleeping clutch player in the league. Again, that's a former scout. So my point is, isn't it fair to think that we really haven't seen the best of De'Aaron Fox yet? We've seen flashes of it, but, I mean, he's going to save a little something. He's entitled to save a little something-something for the regular season.
Yeah, for sure, 100%. You know, De'Aaron Fox, you know, we saw 70% of what he can do in the preseason. I think he's going to step it up, you know. And I was looking at his numbers last season. Everybody talks about his shooting. You know, his three-point shooting in the fourth quarter was 35%. Not great.
Passable.
But passable.
Yeah.
And in the fourth quarter at home, he was a 40% three-point shooter.
Wow.
A 30% three-point shooter on the road. And so it showed me he can knock him down in clutch situations. I like to see him do it more on the road. But, I mean, you know, what he was able to do last year was no fluke, because he wasn't like – it'd be different if, like I said, he turned into Steph Curry and was hitting crazy fall-away threes and everything. He was just taking over the game, getting to his spots, mid-range jumper, getting to the hoop. And so I expect more clutch De'Aaron Fox. We saw it the other night in Golden State, too. Like, in that fourth quarter, he stepped up. Him and Curry were throwing haymakers at each other. Curry got the win, but De'Aaron Fox was right there, sort of like we saw in the playoffs last year.
It was amazing last year how many times at the end of a game he could get to the bottom of the circle in a key situation.
Right.
Literally anytime he wanted to.
Anytime he wanted to. And, you know, I tell you, what you've seen from De'Aaron Fox in terms of development is confidence. Like, I always maintain, when a player knows that they could do anything they want on the floor and they're the best player out there, there's no stopping them. You can have the greatest defense, but that confidence is doing something for De'Aaron Fox.
Mm-hmm. So the regular season tipping off next week.
Finally. I'm excited about this. Obviously, a tough game you know, coming up opener against Utah, a team we saw last night, but they didn't play any of their guys. Like, to me, that's a tough road opener. You know, you get that win, then you come home and you got Golden State and the Lakers. So those are three tough games. But like I said, I think it's going to take 10 to 15 games before I really deep dive into what this Kings team is.
Do you think they can afford anything like the start they got off to last year?
I think so. I think so, because here's why, Whitey. Look at their first four games. Utah, Golden State, Lakers, Golden State. And so it's quite possible, Kings fans, don't lose your mind if they do get off to that 0-4 start. But then you got back-to-back against Houston. You got Portland coming to town. And so 0-4 can quickly turn to 4-4 just like that. So I wouldn't panic after the first four games.
How would you say, what was the key to them turning it around after that 0-4? Because I know a lot of people thought, yeah, not a good defensive team. Sabonis fouls too much. They're 0-4. It's not there. And then next thing you know, wow, they won the division.
You know, it's crazy. When you look at it, you know, it just hit me as you were talking right now. Look at Keegan Murray. Didn't play the first game. Came off the bench early in the season, the first couple of games. And so then you insert him in the starting lineup. De'Aaron Fox starts going. Keegan's knocking down threes. Kevin Huerter was lights out. And I think what you saw from this Sacramento Kings team is, once they started winning, the stuff Mike Brown was telling them actually started to click for them. It's like, oh, coach knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, we trust coach. We're buying into who coach is and what he does. Then you saw the 7-game winning streak, and after that, they were just humming after that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it finally gets going next week, and I know we disagree on what is going to constitute a successful season. I think we agree that no matter how you slice it, there's every opportunity here for the Kings to have another really exciting and successful season.
Yeah.
I think they're set up for that.
Yeah, I think so as well. And, you know, when I talk to fans, obviously they're excited. They're looking forward to the season. Let me ask you this, though. Do they need a good start? If you're the Sacramento Kings fan base, do you need them to see, come off 3-1, 4-0? Or will some self-doubt start creeping in? Will we start doubting this team a little bit?
I think a fast start is essential just because the West is going to be so competitive.
Yeah.
But like you said, last year they didn't start well 0-4, and they still righted the ship. But this year I think it's vitally important that they at least stay above water here in the early parts of the season with so many games against Western Conference teams, 17 of the first 18.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you talk about, obviously you play to win the game, but there's a way – that if you do lose a game, let's say you take on the Warriors that Friday night at home, or the Lakers, and you're in it the whole game, you're fighting, you're clawing, and, you know, you just come up a little bit short. That's one thing. Like we saw, you know, the other night in Golden State. That loss against Golden State the other night was much different than some of the other losses we saw in the preseason. You know, you talked about effort, energy,
dispirited.
Exactly. So if I see that spirit, that energy early on, I'll be encouraged about that with these Kings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see here. Do we have to worry about Sasha going forward? Or where are we with Sasha?
I think
right
I'm
now?
Good on Sasha,
okay.
Man.
All right.
I thought what I saw in that second half, specifically that third quarter. Here's the thing. If I'm Sasha, don't worry about the three-point shot. Don't press to get a three. Try to get downhill. Try to get to the basket. Maybe get to the free throw line. Let the game come to you. And I thought he did a little bit of that in the third quarter.
We got
to
be patient.
Yes.
We would have loved for him to come in and all of a sudden just
right,
be
just
a left-handed Dirk Nowitzki.
Yes.
It's going to take time.
Would have been nice, but he's okay. He'll be all right.
All right. Good luck to you and your your Phillies and your Eagles this weekend.
Yes, big weekend, and hopefully I'll come in here Monday feeling good about my squad.
Yeah, we'll talk to you again Monday. Thanks for being with us today. Have a great weekend. Back with you Monday right here at Drive Guys on Sacktown Sport.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.